Are we live? Whoa! Want me to do this a little bit? All right, I may have a tendency to get a little excited. Promise not to try and blow your eardrums out. Welcome! It's a brand new year, and doesn't it feel good to be back together? It seems like forever since we've had our last huddle, and what a crowd to start off with. Did everybody make it through the holiday season all right? Made all your New Year's resolutions? Maybe even kept one by now? Well, I hope that one of your resolutions is to be right here every Wednesday. Because this group, you are going to be blessed by being here, making it regular, getting to know people, and most importantly, learning how to apply the Bible to your life. That's the whole purpose. And so it's a great resolution. That's a standard holiday thing that you do. Make resolutions. Make your way through all the holiday season. Make your way through all the college bowl games. And so now that the football season's officially over, since we had the last bowl game, the guys from Ohio State and LSU are sitting at home thinking their season's over. What I want you to think about is that really, for those guys, their football season might be over, the games might be over, but in terms of life, it's game day. And I'm going to challenge you from here on forward, every day is game day. And when it's game day, I know some of you out there right now are thinking about when you played football and you knew it was coming up to be on Friday night and you're getting that little tense stomach, and you're getting excited, and that adrenaline's starting to pump because you remember what it was like to be on the field to compete. How many played high school football or college football for that matter? How many played football on Thanksgiving? The thing about high school football, how many of you remember two-a-days? August, hot, dusty, dry, wears you down. Practice, practice, practice. For what? Because one day you knew that right down there on the calendar it says it's game day. And when it becomes game day, I get to put on a uniform. And when you put that uniform on, what you're doing is you're declaring which team you're on. And make no mistake about it, every day you put on a uniform. The uniform you put on describes which side of the butt you're on. Are you on the godly side or are you on the sinful man's side? You're going to put a uniform on every day. You want to put on the godly uniform. So, it doesn't matter how you feel. What you feel like in the morning, it doesn't matter what's happened to you, it doesn't matter what's coming up. You got to put on a uniform and you got to play the game. So take out your outline, because we're going to run through a few Proverbs 13 verses that describe a contrast between the uniforms. Which side of the butt do you fall on? Verse 1, a godly man follows instruction, but a sinful man ignores correction. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Verse 3, the next line down, a godly man guards his words, but a sinful man speaks without thinking. And verse 3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Verse 6, I know I'm going fast. Sorry. Verse 6, a godly man, a man with a godly uniform on, is intentional about righteousness. But a sinful man lives comfortably in sin. That verse says, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Verse 9, a godly man influences those around him, but a sinful man has no positive influence. And I want to read a quick piece of scripture that talks about what kind of influence you can have and what kind of influence there was in the Bible. It's in Mark 2. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You got to hear that again. The men laid him, dug through the roof, dropped him down, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Those four guys did not provide salvation for that paralytic, but their act of caring and compassion and obedience got them to a point where it changed his eternal destiny. And you don't know what acts you're doing, what kind of things you're doing in your life, day to day, with your kids, with your wife, with your co-workers, what you're doing that can change eternity for somebody. We have to keep that in mind. We do that by wearing the godly uniform. Moving on, verse 11. A godly man is financially diligent, but a sinful man wastes everything he gets. That verse says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Luke 16:11 says, if you've not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? It's saying you've got to be a good steward with everything that God gives us. Possessions, money, time. We've got to be good stewards. Verse 20, a godly man keeps wise company, but a sinful man is harmed by his friends. Harmed by his friends. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And so if you're sitting here thinking that, you know, I claim to be a Christian, but it's okay to run with my buddies that I've been running with all my life. The fact is that God loves them as much as He loves you. But if they're out doing ungodly things and you're trying to run with them and claim to be a Christian, it's not going to work. You're fooling yourself, thinking you're on the godly side, and you're not. You're on the sinful side. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now don't take that to mean you've got to disregard all your friends because Christ loves them and He needs you to reach out to them, but they can't be your major influence. And then finally, verse 24. A godly man disciplines his children, but a sinful man allows excessive freedom. The verse reads, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Now, that passage strikes a little chord with me personally because the cultural tendency is to think that that means it's okay to spank. That justifies us to be able to spank our kids. Well, the Bible teaches that spanking is biblical, but that's not what discipline means. Discipline means training. Part of training is encouragement and correction. And part of correction is punishment. But don't get confused thinking that discipline, the word discipline here, is just punishment. It's training. How do you do that? How do you know how to discipline your kids? How many times have you heard it say that, you know, this kid didn't come with an owner's manual? Here's the owner's manual right here. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Right here's the answers, but you have to get into it. So as you look down your list, it's a pretty clear distinction. And if you picture them in uniforms, it's home and away. You don't wear a white uniform on the road and a white uniform at home. You're wearing two different colors, and it's the same way here. You look down through those, and you go, man, that is some pretty hard contrast. How can I stay on the godly side? It takes one thing. It's extremely, extremely difficult, but it's not complicated. One word. Obedience. How do you stay on God's side? Simply through obedience. Let me ask you this. If your boss comes to you and says, I want you to do this project, are you going to do it? Yeah. You're going to do it. Are you going to do it on time? You're going to do it to the best of your ability? You bet you are, because you don't want the consequences of losing your job, not getting a raise. You don't want the natural consequences that come with not fulfilling your project. Now, you know it's not optional. So my question to you is, do you have that same not optional attitude when it comes to God's commands? Do you read the Bible and where it says do this, don't do that, do you look at it as, well, I'll try not to? Or do you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to speed read some commands. You don't have to write these down, but I want you to think about them. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Rid yourself of all things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Do not lie to each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do not get drunk, which leads to debauchery. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Love your wives. Do everything without arguing or complaining. Rejoice in the Lord always. Learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Avoid godless chatter. Don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments. Do not worry. And do not love the world. And I didn't even include the Ten Commandments in that. And that's just scratching the surface, right? So if there's anyone out there going, oh, I got those covered, that's no problem. Here's another one. James 4:17. Therefore, if any of you knows what to do and doesn't do it, you sin. So it's not just a matter of not doing something. You've got to be obedient when the Holy Spirit moves your heart into doing something, into serving, into following. And it's not always easy. Because if we're honest about this, we don't feel like obeying a lot of the time, do we? It's not fun to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. But God's expectations don't change based on how we feel. So, there's three ways that you can learn to be obedient. One, first one, you got to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 simply says, pray continually. You cannot have a relationship. It's impossible to get to know somebody if you never meet with them. You got to pray. Secondly, not optional, you have to read your Bible. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Thy word have I hidden in my heart so I might not sin against you. We have to read the Bible. We have to memorize Scripture. Remember when Jesus was out in the wilderness in Matthew 4? He's out there for 40 days. He's hungry, and the devil comes to him and starts to tempt him and says, you know what? If you're the Son of God, turn those stones to bread. Well, here's Christ, hadn't eaten for 40 days. I imagine he's a little hungry. And Jesus says, the word, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So Satan, okay, he got me there. All right, I got you. Takes him up to the top of the temple, says, look down there, jump. Don't worry, though, because the angels will catch you. And he says, it is written, do not test the Lord thy God. So Satan was using Scripture, trying to use Scripture against him. So all the more reason to know what your Bible says, because it can be used against you if you don't understand what it means in context. And then thirdly, he takes Jesus up to the top of the mountain and says, you see this? I'll give it all to you if you just bow down to me. And we all get faced with that temptation. We look around all the things we can have, and we go, man, if I would give up this, I could have that. The funny thing is, it's not Satan's to give away. He doesn't own it. So when Christ rebuked him, it says Satan fled, he left, angels came and comforted him. And so that's what God will do with you. As you struggle to obey, as you struggle to do what's right, as you struggle to stay on the God's side of but, you're going to be comforted and you're going to be strengthened. The third thing you have to do is you have to be accountable. You have to, you've got to be involved in a church, in where you're being fed. You go to church, you're being fed, you go to church, and you're feeding people. You need to be involved in some sort of a small group. Huddle, something similar to huddle, where you can share your burdens. People can pray for you. You've got to be involved at that smaller level. And then you have to be involved one-on-one with another man or two that you can be completely open and honest. Someone that has the permission to say, have you loved your wife this week? What's your thought life been like? Have you loved your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Too often we don't want to answer those questions, do we? But it's all about obedience and doing things God's way, regardless of how we feel. I've got a really simple mind. And so I have to do some things that help me to remember to obey. And I want to share just a couple of them real quickly. I keep a cross in my pocket. Every time I reach in for change, I see the cross. It's another reminder to me about how I should be living. Which uniform am I going to wear? Above my desk, I have a little army guy. I look at him all the time. He's got a little cross painted on his helmet. I keep that close. Why? Because we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Ephesians 6 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's one thing to read it. Like I said, I have a simple mind. I have to live it. And this may sound hokey or look hokey to some of you, but this is what I do. And like I said, I have to do something to make sure that I stay on the right side of the butt. Before I go to work every day, as I'm walking, I'm putting my armor on. I'm suiting up. I put on the helmet of salvation, and I go through the motions. I put on the helmet of salvation, for today is the day of salvation. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Who can dwell in your sanctuary? Who can stand on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. Put the belt of truth around my waist. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Pick up the shield of faith. For faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see. And I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, even to dividing joint and marrow, soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And my feet are fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, so that I can be prepared in season and out of season to give an account for the hope I have in Jesus Christ. I have to do that. I have to do that to make sure that I'm ready for game day. That's my uniform. For God's sake, you guys do something that will bring to mind, make you stay on God's side. You got to stay on God's side. The penalty of not doing it is too great, because if we don't stay on God's side, the collateral damage is unthinkable. It's absolutely unthinkable. Because our kids are watching, our wives are watching, our neighbors are watching, and we have got to make sure that we live pure and holy lives.
See your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go farther. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Give a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. It's going to be good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. Good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know you said it.
But I'm strength.
Then you negotiate with your buddy to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your arm. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
The point is, picture God in your ear, guys. Don't quit. Don't quit, but it's hard. Don't quit. There's people counting on you. We're influencing our family and our community. Don't quit. And so I'm leaving you with one final command. It's in Joshua 24. A lot of you know it. Probably all of you know it. All the commands I read before demonstrated which side of the butt you're living on. This command forces you to decide which side you're going to live on. Joshua 24, it's not optional. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. You got God in your ear going, don't quit. Come on. I know it hurts. You can make it. Don't quit. Choose this day whom you will serve. And when you have that all-in, total surrender, no-holds-barred attitude towards, I'm going to obey God no matter what, then you'll make the last half of this verse your declaration. You'll draw a line in the sand, put a stake in the ground, and say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Father God, I just pray right now over these men and their families. I just thank you so much for the impact they're having on this community. On their families, on their wives, on their children's. Lord, you raise up a generation of godly men. Father, we want to glorify you and praise you with our lives. I'm asking for supernatural power, Lord, for each one of us to live on your side of the butt. No excuses, no quitting, total dedication to you, Lord. Nothing short of what we owe you for you sending your Son to die for us. The ultimate price that you paid We can never repay, God. Thank you so much for that. We love you because of that. And I just pray it all in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.